Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today, and I know y'all miss Pastor Paul a bunch. He was one of my favorite preachers, and I always enjoyed coming here when I wasn't preaching someplace else, and I was up at our cabin and listening to him. So, you know, we'll get through this, okay? It'll be different, but anyways, grateful for the 16 years that you had with him here. What a wonderful man he was, or is. He still is a wonderful man. My name is Ken Reeby, and I'm with the Presbytery of Northern Waters, we've got a cabin down the way. I fill the pulpit at Two Harbors United Church a couple of Sundays a month, the first two Sundays a month, but anyways, always a delight to be here with you all. A few announcements that I've been given. One, we're supporting the House of Love Christmas party, and as we've done in past years. So please sign the Christmas card that we are mailing to the House of Love in Thailand. The card is in the narthex. If you are able to roast a turkey on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, consider signing up downstairs. And next Sunday, the 24th, the Gideon Mission will be making a presentation, so please consider a donation to their work. And then we are decorating the sanctuary for Advent season. Come and join the fun on November 26th at 1 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Gracious God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep.
The gospel reading today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. I'm going to be reading this in the Message, which is Eugene Peterson's translation, and it puts it in today's language. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Message, begins here. Following the letter of the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, watch closely. I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to the forgiveness of sin. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. And as he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star of this drama, to whom I am a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life into for a kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." At once the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild for 40 wilderness days and nights. He was tested by Satan. Wild animals were his companions, and angels took care of him. And after John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the message of God. "Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, what is the good news anyway? Is it all about being forgiven so I go to heaven when I die? Or is it about something more, something different? If it's something more, what is it? And I believe most of us believe that there is something beyond this life and the here and now. We call that heaven, which really is being in, which is being in God's presence. And if we're in a relationship with God now, God is present with us as we live our lives. The Gospel of John talks about eternal life, and a lot of times we think of eternal life as something that begins when this life is over. But really, eternal life is life in God's presence, beginning in the here and now, and continuing beyond life as we know it here. Anyway, Mark began his account of Jesus' life very simply. There's no genealogy, no birth narrative like Matthew and Luke. There's no metaphorical, theological rendering as in John. He simply starts out the beginning of the good news of Jesus the Christ. It's not a sentence. That's more like a title of his gospel. And he follows that with a quote from Isaiah 40, which was read earlier, which describes John the Baptizer's role as a forerunner of the Christ, preparing the way for the anointed one whom we have come to know as Jesus of Nazareth. In these first 15 verses of Mark, we find John proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And people from all over the area came to the Jordan River to receive his baptism of repentance, which really is having a change of heart and a change of attitudes and a change of direction. And I'll say more about that later. Jesus came to be baptized by John too. And we wonder, well, why did he do that? Because Scripture says that he was without sin. My take on that is that he came to identify with humanity, with you and with me. But the cool thing here is that when he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens split open, and he saw the Spirit coming down in the form of a dove on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "You are my Son. You are chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." Or, "You are my Son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." So think about that for a moment. He saw the Spirit descending like a dove. He heard the voice, "You are my Son, the beloved, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." The text of Mark doesn't say, the text in Mark doesn't say that the crowd saw the Spirit descend or heard the voice, but Jesus did. I want you to think about the power of affirmation, if you would. Some of you received affirmation from your parents, teachers, growing up. Those affirmations that told you that you are loved, that you are worthy and capable, and your life matters. Others of us didn't receive so much positive affirmation in a clear and direct way. And we're led to believe that we weren't very lovable, worthy, capable, and we questioned whether or not our lives really mattered. We didn't often hear the words, "I love you." We heard words like, "What's wrong with you? Why can't you get it? Why don't you understand? Try harder." Those kinds of messages. And the impact of those words, one way or the other, whether words of affirmation or not, are huge in either direction. Jesus received that affirmation when he came up out of the water at his baptism. And the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness where he was tempted. Think about that for a moment. Affirmation gives us strength to face hard times with a sense of resiliency. We don't have to cave in to whatever it is that comes our way, because we know that we are loved, that we are valued, and that our lives matter. And when we can believe those things, we can face all kinds of hardship and not be defeated. Oh, sure, there are those days when we second-guess ourselves, but they don't have to defeat us. I grew up in fundamentalism. My parents had been missionaries to India before I was born, and they had a stern and austere kind of piety. Jesus was going to come at any moment, so you better be ready, and you better mind your P's and Q's. You know, the world out there was evil, filled with temptations that will lead you astray. So we were known by what we didn't do. We believed that real Christians didn't smoke or drink alcoholic beverages, didn't go to movies, dances, play cards with pictures on them, go to pool halls, or any other place where temptation lurked and evil lurked. The question was, if Jesus returned today to catch believers up in the sky and you were found doing, what would happen? We had to mind our P's and Q's, but I always had this anxiety that I wasn't quite good enough. I would never get it right. And at youth camp, we heard more sermons about the evils of this world that face teenagers, you know. And we were all susceptible to the evil that lurked around us. And one of the preachers said, on the basis of how you've lived so far today, what you deserve is to burn in hell. But God sent Jesus so that you could go to heaven when you die if you believe him and behave correctly. Sermons like that made me feel dirty, afraid, and unworthy to be loved. But at the same time, we were told that God loves us, so why did I feel so guilty most of the time? I don't know how many times I said the sinner's prayer, but I never seemed to get it right. If you go back to the Genesis story, when God finished creation, he said, "It is good. It is good." Everything was perfect and whole. Everything was as God intended it to be. And then there was this serpent that convinced Eve that, you know, if you partake of this fruit, you know, you surely aren't going to die. And she looked at it and it looked good. And then she took a taste and it was very good. And she gave it to Adam. And all of a sudden they discovered they were naked and they were afraid. And soon after that, God sent them out of the garden, and the world's been broken ever since. Sin, personified by Satan, destroyed the creation as God intended it to be. And the result is our brokenness. It creates divisions among people, systems that oppress people who are different. It tells us that we are unlovable, unworthy, incapable, and our lives really don't matter. And when we believe that about ourselves, that's how we act. We treat other people like that. We don't feel worthy, so they must not be worthy either. We feel miserable about ourselves and do destructive things to ourselves and to others. Relationships get broken, and there's a lot of physical and emotional pain.
So Jesus came to restore creation as God created it to be. He came to bring healing and wholeness to the physical, emotional, and relational brokenness of our world. That's a much different way of looking at sin and redemption than the way I learned about it. I learned Romans 3:23 this way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, period, full stop. We're sinful people. We're bad. And we need salvation so we can go to heaven when we die. And it wasn't until I was in seminary and we were translating Romans from Greek into English that I discovered that Romans 3:23 is one small phrase in a long Pauline sentence that goes something like this. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they have become undeservedly justified by the free gift of grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there anything different there? I did. That grace is a free gift for the undeserving. There was nothing I could do to deserve it. I just needed to receive it and believe it. God's free gift of grace makes me worthy. It's not merely about avoiding sinful actions, as we used to think about sin. It becomes more about learning how to live freely, knowing that we are loved by God, that we are worthy, that we are capable. Our lives matter even when we mess up. You think about the screw-ups in the Gospels. The disciples, the last night of Jesus' life in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fled. They ran away and left him by himself to be arrested. Peter, later that night, denied even knowing Jesus three times. Or Thomas, who missed the first resurrection appearance on that first Easter evening, said that unless he would not believe unless he saw Jesus' hands and side and touched them. So what did Jesus do on that second Sunday after resurrection? He met them again in the upper room where they were scared. The door was barred, but he appeared again to them, and Thomas was with them. Did he chew them out and yell at them for being, you know, unfaithful to him? No. He met them where they were, helped them to grasp just a little bit more of his life and sacrifice were to mean. He showed them that they were loved, that they were worthy, they were capable, and their lives mattered. And they really needed to understand that because they were the ones who would be in charge of spreading that good news. The other thing that struck me in this text is about repentance. Repentance is a change of heart, change of direction, or as Marcus Borg wrote, it's going beyond the mind we have. And the mind we have is those attitudes and messages that we heard and learned growing up. The things that we were taught to believe by our parents, friends, teachers, pastors. And in a way, letting go of the mind we have is sorting through those things and what makes sense to us now in light of what we have studied and what we have learned. So it's like I grew up feeling afraid of God, that God was looking down from the heavens and, you know, pointing his finger at me, Ken, be good. You know, don't do that. So for me, repentance here is turning those thoughts around to realize that because I am loved by God, I am worthy, I am capable, and my life really does matter. And that is an act of repentance because instead of beating myself up for my flaws, I begin to discover hope, joy, and peace. What a difference. What a difference to know God doesn't make junk, you know? So if you don't remember anything else that I've said today, I want you to remember four things. Because I am loved by God, I am worthy. I am capable. And my life matters. And I want you to repeat those after me, would you? Because I am loved by God, I am worthy. I am capable. And my life matters. There you have the Gospel of Mark in the nutshell. Okay? And when you look at the things that Jesus did throughout the Gospel of Mark, when you see the people that he healed, the way he taught, and all of those things, the way he responded to people, he saw them. He let them know that they were loved by God, that they were worthy, that they were capable, and their lives matter. And he touched them in many cases and made them whole, you know? The lame to walk, the blind to see, the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years stopped, and she was made whole once again. The little girl, Jairus' daughter, raised up again. So, but it's not just for you and me. It's not merely about you and Jesus or me and Jesus. The mission of Jesus was to spread that good news to other people who are feeling unworthy, unloved, incapable, and that their lives really don't matter. Help them find a way to lift, for their voices to be heard when society shuts them out or puts them down. Find a way to lift them up so that they can see beyond the structural systems that push them aside. Lift them up to see new possibilities and show them that they are loved, worthy, capable, and that their lives really matter. In July, Sue, my wife, and I went to the celebration of the life of the husband of one of my cousins. He had been a teacher, and he loved teaching kids. He taught English and Spanish for 35 years before he retired. Then after he retired, he subbed just about every day. Grades from kindergarten through seniors in high school. He was a bit of a character, and he cared for the kids in his classes. He made his lessons fun and interesting. He nurtured them. He encouraged them. And in essence, he lifted them up to see new possibilities when they couldn't see any. He and his life showed them that they were loved, worthy, capable, and their lives mattered. And in 2022, the senior class chose him to give the commencement address at graduation, 25 years after he retired. Believe it. It seems to me that as followers of Jesus, we are called to do that too, to lift people up so they can see beyond the drudgery and the struggles of their lives, so they can begin to believe that they are loved and worthy and capable, and their lives matter too, that they don't need to continue doing the destructive things to themselves or those they love, and they too can have a positive impact on others. So in closing, I'd like you to repeat after me what I believe to be one of the main themes in the Gospel of Mark. Because I am loved by God, I am worthy. I am capable. And my life matters. That's the power of affirmation. And each of us needs to remember those words because they are indeed the good news of the gospel. Amen. Friends, remember that you are God's beloved people. You are worthy. You are capable, and your lives matter. So go now as God's own people, carrying with you the flavor of salt. And may you be the taste of God's love and the foretaste of God's peace in the midst of a hurting and broken world. And now to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than anything we can possibly ask for, think of, or even imagine. According to God's, that power that is at work within us right now, this very minute. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.